What if I told you that the therapists who are like the most likely to fail in their first year of private practice aren't the bad ones?
Right. Yeah, it's actually kind of the opposite.
Exactly. The data points to the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the highly credentialed, deeply empathetic therapists who are frequently the ones who just, burn out, they run out of money, and they close their doors the fastest.
It's a really heartbreaking paradox, honestly.
Yeah, because they pour absolutely everything into their clinical
All
skills,
right.
but they just totally ignore the operational chassis of the business they're trying to run.
Yeah, they build the engine of a Ferrari, but they completely forget to put wheels on the car.
Wow, yeah.
And the moment they actually put that vehicle in gear, the sheer friction of running a business just grinds them right into the pavement. I mean, they're exhausted before they even see like their third client of the week.
Which, brings us to where you are standing right now. You're a beginner therapist in British Columbia, right? And you're ready to leap into solo private practice.
But you're probably looking at those failure rates and thinking, ah, how do I avoid becoming a statistic?
Right. You need a clear, actionable roadmap that just skips all the overwhelming trial and error. And that is exactly the mission of today's deep dive.
Yep, we have synthesized a massive stack of interviews, expert coaching sessions, and business strategies that are specifically tailored for you, the BC-based practitioner.
Because, I mean, starting a practice isn't just about getting clients. It's really about setting up a bulletproof operational foundation.
Exactly. Because if you don't build those systems first, the business side of your practice will inevitably cannibalize the energy that you desperately need for your clinical work.
Right. So we're going to cover the biggest beginner mistakes, the exact tech stack you need to stay compliant with provincial law here in BC, and this surprisingly counterintuitive rule about booking new clients.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, let's unpack this. Before you even look at office space, before you even think about designing a logo on Canva, you have to decide two really fundamental things.
Who you are treating and when you are working.
Right. The blueprint. So let's tackle the who first.
Yeah, so the most common unforced error a beginner makes in a really saturated market like British Columbia is defaulting to the generalist model.
Which makes sense, right? Because the instinct is just survival. Like, I need revenue, therefore I can help literally anyone.
Exactly. But the problem is when your marketing speaks to everyone, it basically appeals to absolutely no one.
Right.
The sources highlight this really striking case study with Jillian Bagan, a therapist navigating Vancouver's highly competitive market.
Oh, yeah, the Vancouver market is brutal.
It is. And she didn't just advertise, generic art therapy. She aggressively narrowed her focus to target queer youth and early adults.
And the logic there is so powerful. Like, think about it. If a potential client is frantically typing therapist near me into a search bar, they aren't looking for a jack of all trades.
No, they're not. They're searching for a solution to their exact agonizing pain point.
Yeah. Like, if you target, say, high-achieving 36-year-old mothers dealing with complex childhood trauma, right? And that specific mother lands on your site, she should feel this immediate jolt.
She should feel like you are literally reading her diary.
Exactly. That feeling of being just deeply understood is what makes your marketing magnetic. But the second half of this blueprint, the when, is where I think beginners usually sabotage themselves.
Oh, big time. They carry this really brutal hangover from the agency world.
Right, like they just escaped this grueling 9-to-5 system, yet they immediately replicate it in their solo practice.
Yeah, they assume that being a business owner means they must be available Monday through Friday, 40 hours a week. But our sources provide this brilliant counter-narrative.
Right, the therapists who restricted their hours.
Yes. A therapist who purposefully restricted their clinical hours to only Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and they capped sessions at 3 clients a day.
Which sounds crazy at first.
It does, but that left their afternoons completely free to go swim, to decompress, and just step entirely away from the work.
Okay, but I have a real problem with this Tuesday through Thursday idea. Like, let's apply some real-world friction here.
Okay, let's hear it.
If I'm paying Vancouver rent, right, and I am actively telling a high-paying client no on a Friday afternoon, I am literally watching money walk out the door. How is that a survivable strategy for someone who has zero clients?
I know, I know. It feels like total financial self-sabotage. But you have to view your clinical energy as this finite, highly volatile
Your
resource.
battery.
Exactly, like a rechargeable battery. If you drain that battery to zero by month three because you just said yes to every single Friday evening and Sunday morning request, your cognitive empathy collapses.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You begin dreading the work. And, you know, when the work suffers, the referrals stop. So setting a really severe schedule early on is basically the only way to protect your primary asset, which is your mind.
It totally makes me think of a submarine. Like, your schedule boundaries are the pressure seal on the hull.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because you're operating in this high-pressure environment of other people's trauma. If you crack that seal just a tiny bit to take, you know, one weekend client, the pressure of the business floods the clinical space and the whole ship goes down.
That is the exact mechanical truth of it. And here's where it gets really fascinating.
Cool.
When you compress your clinical availability to just 3 days, an operational crisis occurs. You suddenly realize, wait, I cannot cram a 40-hour administrative workload into the remaining 15 hours.
Right. The schedule compression literally forces you to confront your own inefficiencies.
Exactly. Which leads us directly into the next massive behavioral trap.
The overfunctioning trap.
Yes. Because once you realize you have limited time, the beginner's panic sets in, right? And they try to do absolutely everything themselves to save money.
Right. Like they mistake tedious administrative chores for actual hustle.
Oh, all the time. They spend 4 hours agonizing over a Canva font for an Instagram post at midnight.
Oh, I've been there.
Right. And they convince themselves they're being like really dedicated entrepreneurs. But in reality, they are inducing massive decision fatigue.
Because every meaningless operational choice they make drains the exact neurological reserves they need to process complex client trauma the next morning.
Precisely. So to stop this hemorrhage, you have to implement the 5x rule.
Okay, let's walk through the math on this 5x rule because it's so practical. How does this actually force a therapist to stop overfunctioning?
Well, it creates a hard mathematical threshold for your time. So assume your fee is $150 per session.
Okay, so an hour of my clinical time is valued at $150.
Right. The rule states that you must absolutely refuse to do any task that someone else or an automated software could execute for one-fifth of that rate.
Okay, so one-fifth of $150 is $30 an hour.
Yep.
So any task valued at $30 an hour or less is completely off my plate.
Completely. You stop rewriting the exact same introductory emails from scratch every single time a lead comes in.
Right.
You stop manually comparing calendars and, you know, playing email ping pong to find a viable appointment time.
Yes, the worst.
It is. You stop designing your own graphics, and you definitely stop the soul-crushing work of manually chasing down late payments from clients. Those tasks fall drastically below the threshold.
Okay, but if you're listening right now and you're looking at your own shoestring budget, you're probably thinking, great theory, but I don't have thousands of dollars lying around to hire a human assistant.
Right, yeah.
So how does a beginner actually outsource all of this without just going bankrupt?
This is where we need a total paradigm shift. When you're starting out, your team is not human. Your team is your tech stack.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And for a therapist operating in British Columbia, your team is strictly regulated by provincial privacy laws.
Right, the data residency requirements. Like, you can't just plug in whatever free Silicon Valley scheduling app you find on the first page of Google.
No, absolutely not. BC law mandates that personal health information must be stored on Canadian servers, period.
So what's the solution?
Well, the sources consistently point to one really elegant solution for this, and that's JNAP.
Right. JNAP.
Yeah, it was actually developed in British Columbia, which means it inherently satisfies those strict provincial server compliance rules right out of the box.
But looking at the pricing, I think JNAP is about $79 Canadian a month. So applying our 5x rule, $79 a month is roughly the cost of just half of one single therapy session.
Exactly. For half the cost of one session, you essentially deploy an invisible clinic manager.
I love that phrase, invisible clinic manager.
Because it handles the telehealth portals, the compliant billing, and customizable chart templates, so you never start a clinical note with a blank page.
It's huge.
But the true powerhouse of this tech stack, the feature that is just completely non-negotiable, is the online booking system.
Yeah, the sources mentioned this totally wild statistic here, like 85% of appointments are booked online, and a massive chunk of those happen after 7 p.m.
Right.
Let's unpack the psychology of that for a second. Like, why 7 p.m.?
Well, consider the cognitive load of a person in distress, right? Throughout the workday, they're distracted. They're commuting. They're answering emails, managing their kids.
Just staying busy.
Yeah. The noise of the day basically suppresses their anxiety. But after 7 p.m., the house goes quiet. the distractions evaporate.
And that is the exact moment their emotional distress spikes.
Exactly. That's when they finally admit to themselves, I cannot keep living like this. I need a therapist.
Wow. So at that specific moment, their ego depletion is super high. If they land on your website at, say, 9 p.m., and the only option is call during business hours to schedule,
yeah,
you've just introduced this massive friction point.
And friction kills momentum. They are not going to leave a vulnerable voicemail in the dark and then wait for a stranger to call them back during their workday tomorrow.
Right. They're just going to close the tab.
They will.
Yeah.
But if you provide a seamless online booking link, you offer an immediate neurological relief valve.
They click a button, secure a spot, and get this instant dopamine hit of taking control of their mental health.
Exactly. You capture them in their highest moment of readiness.
And as they book, this invisible clinic manager forces another critical step, right? Securing a credit card on file just to hold the appointment.
Yeah, and this seems aggressive to some beginners, but it establishes a really crucial psychological frame.
How so?
When a client enters their credit card, their commitment level just skyrockets. The internal monologue shifts to, well, my card is in the system, and I'll be charged a cancellation fee if I ghost them, so I'm going to show up.
It virtually eliminates the no-show rate.
Almost entirely, yeah.
So you pair this compliant booking engine with, like, a lightweight WordPress website, which runs about $33 Canadian a month, and a secure email service like Hushmail.
Yep, that's the stack.
Here's where it gets really interesting. By outsourcing to this automated tech stack, you completely eradicate what the sources call the psychic stress of business operations.
The psychic stress, exactly.
Like when you sit down with a client, the room is quiet, the logistics are handled, you can just be a therapist. You are holding a safe, unpolluted frame for the client. The unspoken message is basically, I have the structure handled. Your only job in this room is to heal.
Right. Okay, so we have the pressure-sealed schedule, we have the 5x rule, actively preventing decision fatigue, the BC-compliant tech stack is just humming flawlessly in the background.
Sounds perfect.
But the reality is, the schedule is still totally empty.
Yeah, the hard part.
Right. Like, how do we drive actual human beings to click that booking link?
Okay, so this is where we confront client acquisition. And the real danger here is falling into what a massive 3,000-person study on independent professionals dubbed the expert trap.
The expert trap. What exactly separates an expert from someone who actually has a thriving business?
Well, the study revealed that highly credentialed professionals, and especially therapists, harbor this really naive belief that their sheer expertise is a marketing strategy in itself.
Like, if I build it, they will come. Exactly. They build a beautiful website, they frame their degrees, hang them on the wall, and then engage in an activity that researchers described as aggressively waiting for the phone to ring.
Oh, man. Yeah. Aggressively waiting.
Oh, yeah. They assume excellence is self-evident.
But the internet is deafeningly noisy.
Yeah. Know?
Simply existing in Vancouver with a master's degree does not make you visible.
No, it doesn't. So the top performers in the study abandoned that passive expert mindset and adopted what they call the activator advantage.
Activators.
Yeah. And activators operate on three distinct pillars: commit, connect, and create.
Okay, let's break those down. What does the commit phase actually look like on a random Tuesday morning?
Committing means treating business development as a non-negotiable daily metabolic function, not just a panic response when your taste load dips.
Right, be consistent.
The framework suggests carving out a highly focused 15 to 20 minutes every single morning. Yeah. You take your coffee, you sit down, and for just 15 minutes, you execute one focused action.
Like
you update a directory profile, or you reach out to a local allied professional, or maybe you draft a short piece of content. It's this metronomic rhythm that eventually builds an unstoppable snowball of visibility.
I love that. So the next two pillars are connect and create, which the sources kind of fuse into something called the sandwich approach.
Yes, the sandwich approach.
But I want to push back on this a little bit, because in grad school, therapists are practically indoctrinated to avoid being salesy.
Oh, absolutely.
So the idea of proactively pushing yourself into a doctor's office or a community center, doesn't it feel uncomfortably close to being a used car salesman?
I hear that all the time. But that mental hurdle is the primary reason brilliant therapists go bankrupt. You have to completely reframe what selling actually is in this context.
Okay.
The sandwich approach is about creating value before you ever ask for a referral.
So what's a concrete example of that?
Well, the generic salesy approach is emailing a local general practitioner and saying, "Hi, I have openings. Please send me your patients."
Which just goes straight to the trash.
straight to the trash because it demands value from the doctor without offering any.
Right.
But the sandwich approach flips the dynamic. You reach out to that same doctor and say, I know GPs are really overwhelmed right now with young adults presenting with complex anxiety. I wrote a one-page bulleted guide on how to differentiate between standard stress and clinical trauma in a 10-minute checkup.
Wow.
Here it is for free. Print it out, leave it in the waiting room, give it to your patients.
So you are basically solving a problem for the doctor. You're making their life easier, establishing your extreme niche competence, and proving your value before money ever changes hands.
Exactly. You are simply telling people who are in pain or people who treat those in pain that you exist and that you have a specific tool to help them.
That's a huge reframe.
Yeah. Because if you possess the training to change someone's life and you choose to just hide in your office aggressively waiting for the phone to ring because you're afraid of looking salesy, you are actively doing your community a disservice.
Marketing is just a vehicle for offering a lifeline. When you internalize that, the resistance just vanishes. Okay, so let's say the marketing works. The GP hands out the flyer. A client goes to your website at 9 p.m. They experience the relief of the online booking system, and they secure a spot.
They're officially in your system.
Now what?
Well, this brings us to the final and honestly, arguably most critical beginner lesson. The sources outline a non-negotiable golden rule for that very first contact.
Which is?
You must always, always require a mandatory phone screening before the client is allowed to attend their first clinical session.
Okay, but I can imagine a scenario where a client emails and says, look, I don't care what your hourly fee is. I am in an active crisis. I have my credit card ready and I want to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Do you still force the phone call?
You force the phone call, especially in that scenario.
Really?
Yes. As a solo practitioner, you have to understand that this screening goes both ways. Yes, the client is deciding if they like you, but you are conducting a vital acuity assessment.
Okay, what is the specific danger of skipping that acuity assessment?
Think about it. A solo private practice is a remarkably fragile clinical environment.
Right.
You do not have a psychiatric nurse down the hall. You don't have a 24/7 on-call crisis team.
It's just you.
Just you. So if a client is actively suicidal, experiencing severe psychosis, or in a really high state of dysregulation, a solo once-a-week practice might actually be a dangerous place for them.
Oh, I see.
They likely need a higher level of care, like an intensive outpatient program. And if you skip the screening call, you won't discover this until they're literally sitting in your office or on your Zoom screen.
And by then, they've signed the consent forms, and they are legally and ethically your clinical responsibility.
Exactly. That is a staggering liability. You're suddenly managing a crisis you are not infrastructurally equipped to handle.
It destroys your clinical boundaries instantly.
Totally. But beyond the liability, there's a secondary psychological reason for the phone call. It acts as a firewall against what the sources call the momentum trap.
The momentum trap. Okay, walk us through the mechanics of that.
So, consider the client who frantically tries to book a same-day appointment. Maybe they just had a devastating argument with their spouse, or they received terrible news at work.
Right, they're highly activated.
Exactly. They are riding a massive localized wave of emotional momentum. They just want to vent immediately. But therapy is not a venting session, you know? It's a long-term, demanding commitment to behavioral change.
So by delaying them, by saying, I require a 15-minute consultation call tomorrow before we begin, you are stress testing that momentum.
Precisely. You are forcing them to regulate their emotions over a 24-hour period. You're saying, we do not do same-day emotional offloading here.
Right.
If that localized crisis passes and they cancel the screening call the next morning, well, they were never ready for the actual work of therapy anyway.
But if they do show up for the call,
then it proves they have the sustained motivation required to actually benefit from your practice.
It ties perfectly back to our submarine metaphor, doesn't it? By enforcing that simple 15-minute phone call, you are fiercely protecting the pressure seal of your clinical environment.
Yeah. You're ensuring the client receives the appropriate level of care, and you are establishing absolute respect for your own professional frame.
And all comes back to holding the frame. The business systems protect the therapist so the therapist can protect the client.
That is profound. Let's synthesize this incredibly powerful roadmap we've just mapped out for you today.
Sounds good.
If you're launching a solo practice in BC, you do not just wing it. First, establish your blueprint. Narrowly define your niche so your marketing feels like reading their diary, right? And build a highly restricted schedule so you don't drain your clinical battery.
Protect the battery.
Second, eradicate decision fatigue by applying the five times rule.
If it costs less than $30 an hour, get it off your plate.
Outsource it.
Third, deploy an invisible BC-compliant clinic manager using JNAP, ensuring you capture that 7 p.m. ego depletion window with seamless online booking.
Crucial step.
Fourth, abandon the passive expert trap. Become an activator who spends just 15 minutes a day using the sandwich approach to provide free value to your network.
Give value first. And finally, guard your practice with the golden rule, the mandatory screening call to assess clinical acuity and defeat the momentum trap.
Honestly, if you just execute that sequence, you will bypass years of painful trial and error.
Absolutely.
And as you put these pieces together, I want to leave you with one broader, maybe slightly provocative concept to consider as your practice matures.
Ooh, okay. What is it?
What if the ultimate goal of your business isn't actually to hoard as many clients as humanly possible?
Wait, really?
Yeah. What if your true objective is to become so relentlessly specialized and so operationally flawless that you eventually reach a point where you refer out more people than you take in?
Oh, wow. So you transition from being just another therapist to becoming the central hub of a localized mental health microeconomy.
Exactly. You become the rising tide that elevates every other practitioner in your community.
That is an amazing vision. You have the keys. The room is empty. But now, you aren't just staring at a list of heavy responsibilities. You have the exact architectural blueprint to build something sustainable, profitable, and deeply impactful. We cannot wait to see the incredible value you're going to bring to your community. So go ahead, unlock the door, step inside, and let's get to work.